This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Real Life. Just take this in for a minute. You remember that song, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love? Well, what the world needs now is more healers. And the guest that we have on today is going to help us with that. Her name is Lisa Campion, and she is a master Reiki teacher. And this book that she's going to talk, and she has a whole bunch of other things. We'd be here forever for talking about all her accolades. But I want to focus on this, okay? Here's the name of her book, The Art of Psychic Reiki, Developing Your Intuitive and Empathic Abilities for Energy Healing. Now, before you think you're going to say, no, I'm not going to listen to this because I don't know anything about art, don't know anything about being a psychic, I don't know anything about Reiki, it doesn't have anything to do with that. This has to do with healing, everybody, and you can do that. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I am great because, you know, everybody, sometimes they look at that and they think, I don't even know what that is and how can I even do it? But you are of the mindset that everybody can heal in some way. Is that correct?
Yeah, I definitely think that. I mean, I think some people are really called as healers, you know, like that it's sort of like an archetype we have or part of our soul purpose. And that's definitely been true for me, where my whole life has been dedicated to that. And healers can be like nurses or moms or, you know, just people who find themselves in caretaking roles, which we often do throughout our life. And I also think we can be healers in kind of like very subtle ways. It might be like talking to somebody in line behind you in the supermarket or smiling at somebody at a checkout counter or just dealing with a person that sort of, you know, falls down in front of you like that, that we can all be called into that kind of healing work.
And, you know, that's the thing that I'm talking about here is because I know sometimes people don't even explore that side of themselves because they think it's that they can't do it. Okay, so if you could just do me a favor here, and I know some people listening are going to know this, explain to me what it means to use your psychic abilities and explain to me what is Reiki.
Okay, sure. Let's start with Reiki because that's a little bit of a simpler thing. So Reiki is a very gentle and powerful energy healing technique from Japan that truly anyone can learn. I've been teaching Reiki for over 20 years, and I've taught Reiki to tiny little kids, to people who have never, you know, engineers and scientists, people who have never had any idea of what healing is. So it's a way that we learn how to use energy, the sort of universal life force energy that surrounds us, that is part of the world in a very healing way. And I'm in Boston, nearby Boston, and we have some of the best hospitals in the world. I think we could argue that. Mm-hmm. And most of the big city Boston hospitals have Reiki units. They have complementary and alternative medicine units where you can call them and get a Reiki practitioner to you pre and post surgery. If you're receiving cancer treatments, they use it for anxiety and depression. So, you know, I'm thinking, I love to tell that story because I feel like, you know, when we're in the big city hospitals here, it's sort of legitimizing the practice of Reiki, which is it's a very powerful energy healing technique.
And you don't have to believe, and I'm using that in quotes, believe in Reiki to have it work on you.
That's absolutely true. So it's sort of like you don't have to believe in acupuncture. Or you don't have to believe in, you know, what your chiropractor is doing. It's still going to work.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So is Reiki kind of like, inner massage? it moves things around energetically to help release blockages? Because that's what a massage does. A massage is your outer body, and it releases those tight knots to help you feel free and open. So when you're doing Reiki, it is what, spinning open energy centers, or what should I expect to feel?
You know, it's a great definition. And I think it's like acupuncture without the needles is a really great also way to think about it. So it does release energy blocks along the meridian system. So if you know anything about Chinese medicine, then we know we have these energy meridians. So it works through that. And it also works through the chakras, which are the spinning energy centers, to release energy there. And I think it works on bringing life force energy or chi to parts of the body that might not be feeling so good. So if you fall down and get a bruise, or if you're like me and you did a boxing workout yesterday and I'm so sore today, I've been doing like Reiki on myself to bring chi, oxygen, blood flow to those areas that need it. It also works on helping us release emotions out of our body, because we know that when we keep emotions stuck in the body, it's not good for us. It's bad for our health. It's bad for our emotional well-being. A lot of times when I'm doing Reiki treatments with people, they cry, they laugh, they get angry, they have an emotional release that's very healing for them.
Oh, I like that. Oh, that's very important too. And so how does this psychic aspect come in?
Well, you know, I started working as a psychic, I don't know, so many years ago. I was 19 when I started doing that. So that's been sort of my major job for most of my life. And then about 20 years ago, I learned Reiki and sort of added it into the mix along with counseling and psychology. And I noticed that, you know, when I was teaching Reiki, that people who were empathic or sensitive or had latent psychic ability, when they studied Reiki, these things would open. The sensitive people would become more sensitive, and the psychic people would become more psychic. And I think that's, Reiki is sort of like one of those spiritually opening things that we have around, like yoga, like meditation. If you have the capacity for that and you do one of those things, it's going to further open you, and Reiki sort of falls into that category too.
Yeah, and it's no different than, you know, like, let's say someone said, oh, I always wanted to learn how to do pottery, and you go off and you take a pottery class. Can somebody do that with Reiki? Can they just say, yeah, absolutely, I want to know that?
Yeah, you know, when I teach Reiki, I teach in a one day, like Reiki 1 in a one day, like during a full day Saturday. So we can learn it in a weekend, we can learn it in a few hours. You know, it's not a complicated methodology. You can learn as much as you want. You can dedicate a ton of time and keep learning more and more that way if you want to really go deep into it. But it's a pretty intuitive practice. It's a pretty simple practice. And when we do it, we really can to master it in not too long of a time. And I also teach in a 3-year energy medicine school, and that's really like a PhD program. Like, that's a big, time commitment.
Does somebody have to be present? Meaning, do they have to go to the class? Is this something someone can learn online?
You can. I mean, I think you can. I feel like there's benefits to being in person. Some people live in areas where there aren't any local Reiki teachers. In that case, learning online is better than nothing. Mm-hmm. One of the cool things that I love too about Reiki is that once you receive your attunement, right away your hands get hot. And it's sort of a really fun thing to see. People are like, they want to believe, but they're a little skeptical. They're not quite sure, you know, about it. And then within seconds of receiving the attunement, their hands get hot. They put their hands on themselves. They put their hands on somebody else. They go home and put their hands on their skeptical spouse. And it's like the proof of this whole concept of energy is now alive in your hands in a way that you can't deny. And that's so powerful, I think, for people.
Okay. And this stuff works, because let me tell you, I did 1 and 2. I did Reiki 1 and 2. And at the time, I was also doing a play. And there were a bunch of us getting ready to go out in this. This girl was like really nervous. She was really nervous. And I said, could I try something on you? And she said, what? And I said, I just learned how to do Reiki, and I'm wondering, can I see if it'll help with your nerves and your anxiety? And I went ahead and I did what I was supposed to do. And so every night before we went on, she'd go, Lisa, come do that thing to me. What is that thing? Mm-hmm. And I said, sure, I'll help you out with that. So it even helped in something simple as relieving stress, anxiety, nerves.
Yeah, it's really powerful for that. It's really great. So it's really used for chronic pain. So chronic pain is one of the most common uses of it. So people are always looking for pain relief that doesn't involve narcotics. So it's used in pain clinics. And it's also extremely effective at both anxiety and depression. So again, people are tired of taking meds for those things. And you can learn Reiki. And this is one of the most amazing things to me about Reiki, is that you can do it on yourself. So you can learn and do it on yourself to relieve your own pain or anxiety or depression in a very quick way.
Okay, I have to ask you, what happens if we do the movement incorrectly?
I don't think it really matters. Like, you put your hands on yourself and you breathe and you concentrate, you know, the flow, and you send the intention, and Reiki's going there. I mean, we do need to receive an attunement, so that's part of something that you can't. Sometimes people ask me, well, I think I give energy to people, but if I haven't had an attunement, could it be Reiki? And I think really the answer to that is no. Like the attunement is the process by which the teacher passes the ability to do Reiki to the student, and it's done through breath and using the Reiki symbols in a particular way that opens your energy field, changes your energy field in a permanent way that allows you to connect with this very specific frequency that is Reiki.
And if someone were wanting to be attuned by you specifically and they don't live near you?
I do it long distance. Just okay. Come to my website, lisacampion.com, and there's a place where you can get time and buy a long distance attunement. I do it all the time and it's really fun.
And when you get this attunement too, are you more aware of people's emotions or their energy? Like if you were just to walk back in the office the next day?
I think so. And I think the more we do it, it does change your energy field in a very powerful way. It is incredibly healing to receive an attunement. So it opens us and heals us and changes us in kind of a permanent way. And then I think the more, if you really want to get into that kind of opening, then you have to practice. So practicing like anything else, right? You know, if we want to get good at it, we have to practice. So giving yourself a lot, and this is where classes, you know, or something that you need. So giving yourself Reiki, working on other people, you know, even if you're, I do something that I call kitchen table Reiki. So when I teach Reiki 1, I teach how to do it for somebody who's sitting in a chair. Not everybody has a massage table hanging around. So a lot of us are doing kitchen table Reiki. Your friend comes to your house, she's crying, she's upset. You give her a cup of tea and some Reiki, you know, while she's sitting at your kitchen table. And this is, it's super powerful to be able to do it that way.
Oh, I love that. And so did this idea of collecting all this information for a book come about in a meditation or a bunch of people telling you should do it? How did it happen?
Yeah, you know, I've been teaching the two of these things together for so long, like I said, about 20 years now. And when I had a Reiki student, I don't know, a couple of years ago. She's a really sensitive girl, so she was very empathic and pretty psychic. And she said, Lisa, I was studying Reiki and I got to Reiki 2 and I had such a huge psychic opening when I was doing Reiki 2 that I started seeing kind of colors around people when I was giving them Reiki. And then one day I was doing Reiki on my friend and I swear to God, her dead mother came into the room and had a message to deliver to my friend. And and this lady said that it freaked her out so much, it scared her so badly that she never did Reiki again. She's like, I don't ever want to do it again. That's just, I don't know what to do with that. I was so scared. And to me, that was really sad. It was really like, wow, she's an incredible gift. And being sensitive and being an empathic and having this psychic message for her friend, it's an incredibly healing thing to do. She's clearly a healer. And what I notice is that people that don't get adequate psychic training or sensitivity training get afraid, or they get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. They're overwhelmed with other people's emotions, or they're nervous about what's going on. And it's that made me sad, because I believe the world needs all the healers it can get. And I believe that all the healers on the planet right now are being called. We're waking up. We're feeling called to study, to learn our gifts, to live in the fullness of our life purpose as healers. And so we need training. Otherwise, we don't know what's happening.
Yeah, and we don't know what to do to help move the energy forward or feel better.
Right.
You know, with all the stuff that's bombarding us from the news, and every day we look at our phones and there's all this kind of sometimes negative energy coming at us,
right.
Knowing how to do a quick sort of scan of ourselves and, you know, get that energy back where it needs to be is going to be really helpful. Does somebody need, like, how many levels are there of Reiki?
There's 3 levels, sometimes 4. So Reiki level 1 is the introduction to the practice of Reiki. We learn to do Reiki on ourselves. Self-healing is a big important part of that. And then you can do kitchen table Reiki. So you're working on yourself, your friends, your family, your pets, your food. If you grow a garden, you're going to grow like huge vegetables if you get out there and Reiki your plants. You know, that it's sort of like an everyday kind of practice. Reiki 2 is considered the practitioner's level. So I recommend Reiki 2 for people that work with their hands on other people, massage therapists, nurses, nail techs, hair stylists. If you've got your hands on people as part of your living, you really should have Reiki 2. We learned some symbols in that one that sort of create emotional healing, mental healing, spiritual healing. We learn long distance there too. And that is the level that pops open people's psychic ability. And then Reiki 3 is sometimes called the master level. That's where the deeper spiritual stuff goes on. And we then learn the ability to get to do an attunement and pass Reiki to other people.
And I want you guys to understand, the very first time I had Reiki done on me, I felt nothing. And I was lying there and I was thinking, what is this? I don't even know if anything's happening, right? Then a bunch of years went by, a bunch of stuff happened, went and got Reiki again. I nearly just like levitated off the table, it felt like. So does it depend on where you are in your life too?
I think it does. You know, some people have like a natural ability, sensitive people and empaths have a natural ability to feel and sense energy. And if you are in that category, you might feel like that levitating, you might feel tingling, pulsing, heat, you know, the sensation of energy moving. But even if you don't feel any of that, you're probably going to feel the results of the Reiki, which is you'll feel peaceful, relaxed, at peace. Reiki has an interesting quality of relaxing you, but energizing you at the same time. So you feel like calm, but ready to do things. And I think that's, and again, it pain relief and relief around anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's really important too is that you feel confident and comfortable with the person that may be working on you. Because I honestly,
I think that's important.
I mean, I think I went to somebody's home this very first time I had Reiki. I remember feeling uncomfortable because I just didn't know them. And so I think that had a lot to do with me sort of keeping my guard up or something. And I didn't know, because every other time I've had Reiki, and even after I studied 1 and 2, it became very important to me that who am I learning this from? In what space am I receiving Reiki? Do I trust them? Do I feel good around them? That's why I wanted to know. If you're resonating with Lisa's voice right now and you're resonating with what she's saying and you're thinking, well, I really would like to try some of this, just know you can. You can learn this from her. You don't necessarily need to go. Now, as far as someone searching out a proper person to get Reiki from, How should we do that?
Love what you said about resonance. I think that's really the most important thing. So just like there's a million yoga studios, you know, or martial arts studios around these days, which I think is a great thing. If you were searching for a yoga teacher, you would go to a bunch of classes and you would find somebody that you really resonate with, somebody that you click with. You just like them, you have a good feeling about it. And that's what you want to do with Reiki people. And there's a lot of different variations in Reiki, a lot of different styles. And I think this style, just like yoga, I think this style matters less than how you feel about the teacher.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And as far as the book, The Art of Psychic Reiki, this takes you through sort of step by step to learning more about how to access or develop the psychic intuitive gifts, as well as learning about Reiki, correct?
Yeah. So in this book, we cover Reiki 1 and Reiki 2. So if you are new to Reiki and you wanted to learn Reiki 1, Reiki 2, you would get that. If you've already a person who studies Reiki, you might learn more. And in that, so with Reiki 1, I'm teaching sort of energy management basics. How do we ground? How do we clear? How do we protect ourselves? How do we manage our energy for people that are highly sensitive? So the highly sensitives tend to get more sensitive with Reiki 1, and that's why I teach it together with these energy management basics. Reiki 2, as I said, pops open our psychic. So with Reiki 2, I'm teaching more psychic development. What is that? What is the difference between psychic and intuition? How do we develop them? What do we do if it's too much? How do we not be afraid of it? That, and how do we use it in a Reiki session, which is very important. So that's really the scope of the book that I have.
Well, and I'm actually very interested in your answer to how do you use your intuition when you are giving Reiki to someone?
You know, it's such a part of a powerful tool for healers, and particularly when you're doing Reiki, your intuition may be telling you, and people experience intuition maybe in many different ways. So you might hear it as a voice in your head, you might just know, you might have a feeling, you might see things. So our psychic senses are varied and come through us in different ways. So when we're doing Reiki, we might have an experience, perception that, oh, we need to stay in this one place longer. Just the other day, I was doing Reiki on somebody's heart, and I knew she was grieving. She'd had a loss, and I had this voice pop in my head, and it's knowing saying, she really needs to cry. She's trying really hard to be brave and strong, but you need to tell her it's okay to cry. She just needs permission. So I took a deep breath and I said, you know, it's okay if you're having a feeling. Like, I don't mind if you cry. It's all right if you do. And she went, ah! You know, and just really was so good. It was so just what she needed. And so that was me following my intuition in that circumstance.
Now, have you ever braced against your calling? Because obviously this is your calling.
You know, I don't think I ever have. That's an interesting question. And I know a lot of people do. I remember when I was 6 years old, this is crazy. I wrote in my journal, when I grow up, I want to be a psychic and a writer.
Nice, girl. I love it.
And I'm just like, that's still going. Like, I'm doing it. And I started working as a psychic when I was 19. I mean, I had some training. I don't know why I thought I could do it. It's just when you're 19, you just do stuff, you know? So I was like, that's what I'm going to do. And I have had bumpy moments. The book writing is super challenging. It's a really arduous process. And really writing that book sort of brought me to my knees what I thought I could do. I was constantly at the edge of like, I'm not sure I can actually do this. And then I would do it. And then the next phase of it, I'd be like, I don't know if I could do this. It went through that for almost 2 years, you know, until once the book was written, then you have to market it and publish it and do a launch. The whole thing, then I was on TV, then I was on Coast to Coast Radio, like really everything. I've been like, oh my God, I don't think I can do this. and I don't know why I didn't give up. I just didn't. I just keep going.
So when you buy The Art of Psychic Reiki, I need you to hold it and give it a hug because there's a lot of time, emotion, energy, and talent in that. Lisa needs a hug. So you go ahead and hug the book when you get it.
You know, I love it when people tell me they buy the book. I'm like, oh, thank you for buying the book. And then when they tell me they're reading it, I get really shy. I'm like,
you expect them to buy it and just have it sit there, girl?
Yeah. And they're going to read it. And I'm like, oh, God, what did I say? Is it any good? Do I like it? You know, like I have this really strange shyness about people actually reading it.
I know. That's ego self popping up trying to get you scared. You're obviously amazing at what you do. Well, the book is called The Art of Psychic Reiki, Developing Your Intuitive and Empathic Abilities for Energy Healing. We will have all of the links up on our site so you can go ahead and buy Lisa's book or even maybe sign up for, you know, some of her classes if this has intrigued you a little bit. We have come to the part of our show we call the RL3, three silly goofy questions that Lisa is going to answer for us. And here is the first one, Lisa. What is your favorite old school toy?
Old school toy. I liked physical things. So probably a bicycle.
Oh, did you ever name your bike?
I had a purple bike with a banana seat and those little like
coming off the handlebars.
Handlebars, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I named it, but I loved that bicycle.
Mm. See, everybody knew you were coming through that town. I love those things that flew off of that, the banana seat. I had one named Buddy. I don't know why. Oh. It was an old Schwinn. I just named him Buddy.
Nice. I like it. I think I used to pretend mine was a horse. I was like a horsey girl, and I loved horses.
Did you take the jump? You know, you put the jump rope on the handlebars like it's like reins?
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
I think
all right.
I went through a phase of really thinking I was on a horse when I was riding that bike.
All right, girl, I have given you unlimited success to a skill of your choice. What will it be?
I don't really know. I think that's an interesting question. Maybe art. I grew up in a family of artists. So everybody in my family is super talented visual artist. And I guess I could say I'm an artist if you consider writing an art form, but I always wanted to be able to paint.
There it is. That's what we're going to do. I now bestow that upon you. And our third and final question is, you know, we find out everybody's fantasy name. So I need the first pet you ever had and the street you grew up on. What is your name?
Okay. My first pet was Samantha. Mm-hmm. She was a cat. And my street was Aberdeen Street.
Samantha Aberdeen. Oh, now that sounds like a really nice person.
It is
what
nice.
What would Samantha do? Samantha Aberdeen, what would she do? Let's see.
Maybe a professor.
Yes, Professor Aberdeen's class.
Maybe she
is
owns
awesome.
A bookstore.
All right. Yeah, I love it. Oh, well, thanks for answering all of our questions. And don't worry, I won't say goodbye, Samantha Aberdeen, but I absolutely love your name. We get really cool names in here, and that's one of them. Don't forget The Art of Psychic Reiki. This has been Lisa Campion, and we thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Lisa.